This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
Well, I'll go back to when it began at around age 10. I started pulling hair from my scalp, specifically the crown of my head. I don't remember the first time I did it, but I remember sometimes after that because it was feeling pretty tender and I would touch the little hair growth stubbles that were coming in and think, oh, I don't know how that makes me feel, uneasy, good, who knows. But that's a long time because I'm 61 now and I've been battling this off and on, very off and on, almost my whole life at this point. So that's where it all began at around age 10. I understand a lot of people start when they're about that golden age for some reason. And that's how it began. And then we'll talk about how it's going. I guess we'll leap on through.
When did you find out there was a name for this behavior?
Not until about 20 or 25 years ago. I want to say I probably Googled, why am I pulling my hair out? And it showed me the name trichotillomania, which took me a while to pronounce and spell because it's a big one. And then it may have referenced also the other types of BFRBs. But I think I Googled, why am I pulling my hair out or something like that when I first started using a computer, which was later in life than most people. I was in grad school at University of Tennessee, and I learned the name, and then I went to a psychiatrist a few years after that and told him my story, and he said, yeah, absolutely, you have trichotillomania. And he prescribed something for me at that time to try.
What did you feel when you learned the name? Did you feel a sense of relief? Was it overwhelming?
Yeah, all of the above. I couldn't believe that. That's not what I expected to find when I Googled, why do I pull my hair out? I didn't know that anybody else on earth had this. So I thought other people must have this or they wouldn't have a term for it. I wouldn't have been able to look it up or there would have been some different answers surrounding this. And I guess I felt relief knowing I wasn't the only one because I certainly spent my entire life convinced I was the only person in the world who ever did this. I never saw anybody else doing it. I never heard of anyone else doing it. The only common thing I saw people doing, which was something I never did, was biting their nails. And I only learned a few years ago that that's a BFRB. So it's just the most accepted one. I would call it accepted because I see people do it old and young all the time. So I think I felt a sense of relief knowing there was a name attached to it. And I was pretty surprised that there was a name slash diagnosis attached to it. I just thought this is just something I started doing. And again, I felt I was the only one.
The medication that he recommended, did it help at all?
No, it was, I'll tell you what it was. It was lithium, which I think at that time, 20, 25 years ago, that was a pretty common drug that was prescribed for as a blanket for everything and anything. I think back then they were giving that to people. I also had, you know, some depression and anxiety and things like that. And I think he was trying to sort of encompass it with one pill and say, well, this is the one drug that might help you. However, it had side effects. I don't recall what they were at this time, but it didn't help with the pulling, and it made me, some of the side effects bothered me, so I stopped taking it. I don't recall being on a drug for it other than that one time I tried it. I don't think I've tried anything else since then.
You mentioned that it's been with you on and off. What was the time or what have been times where you feel like it was really on, maybe the most challenging times?
Besides the very first time I pulled when I was 10, I'm glad you asked that because I was looking back on my emails and I have a folder called Trick. And I saved all my emails from when I first sought out a community here in Northern Virginia. And it was 10 years ago this month, I think. So it said August 2014. And I reached out and said to the leader something like, I'm really having a hard time right now. I would like to join your group. I know that I need help. And I had just missed, I think back then they were meeting once a month, and I just missed their meeting by a few days. So I was pretty bummed about that. So being that I wrote those words and I have them in my email to prove that I wrote it was, sh a shout out for help. I think that was a stressful time for me. And even beyond that, I want to say it was about 12 or so years ago. I recall an episode after work where I was sitting in my car and the sun was coming in just right at 5:30 or whatever time it was, and I began pulling from the back of my left ear and I just couldn't stop. I don't know if I was in a trance, so to speak. I don't know if I realized what was going on around me, which was basically nothing at that time. But I looked down on my pants leg or wherever, and there was just this pile of hair. And I thought, how long have I been sitting here? And it was about 45 minutes. I think I had sat there and just pulled the entire time. And I was working for quite a stressful job back then. So that was probably my way of releasing the stress, is what I'm thinking. So there have been a couple times, sort of later in adulthood, I would call it. Another time was a few years ago, was the last time I really pulled. I was also in my car, so a car could be a trigger point for me. And I got there early to meet some friends for lunch, and they were still stuck in a doctor's appointment. So I had about 45 minutes of time to wait. Instead of just going on in the restaurant and waiting, I sat in my car. Here we go again. And then I looked down, and there's a pile of hair, and from the same spot from behind my left ear. And that time, I really reached out to the community, and said, I think that's right around the time the collective started. I remember telling someone about it, or maybe it was our next monthly meeting. I said, I think I've relapsed, or whatever. That's what I called it. I said, I pulled out all this hair, and it'd been years since I'd pulled out that much. It's enough to make a, it looks like I cleaned out my hairbrush. Yeah, the big wad of it. So, I felt shame and guilt and the things that have riddled me my whole life since I began this, since I began the journey of pulling. And but there, it's just, it's so off and on. I'm amazed I can go years and not pull at all, a single hair. I'm like, how do I do that? What's going on in my life? I wish I could pinpoint it and voice it and guide others to say, here's how you do it. But there's no magic pill. There's no magic cure. And I've learned through going to so many support group meetings, that's part of me doing the work and learning to manage my pulling and not say, oh, well, my goal is to completely stop. I'm never going to touch my head again, things like that. So.
For someone who wants to start going to support groups and seeking support from the community, what advice would you give?
Definitely go, even if you are too afraid to speak up, just observe and listen because someone might give you a tip or a trick that could help you. They'll definitely give you suggestions. Just hearing other people's stories is so inspiring. For me, it was that, wow, I'm really not alone in this. Look at all these people on the Zoom meeting who have the exact same thing I have, and they're from all over the world. So it's so uplifting to know that you're not alone. And I'm sure the first, there's one girl in our group. This is before I met her. I wasn't actively participating in support groups at that time. I took a few years off. I had knee surgeries and stuff like that. And she said she cried the first however many meetings. She just sat there and bawled the whole time. And I thought, oh, I get that. I can see how that would happen because you're hearing all these stories and it's either resonating with you or you're just feeling so much of that weight of that's been on you for so long. Maybe hearing other people kind of lifts it a little bit. That's what I hope has happened. I hope that's why she was crying like that. I think it was just this combination of misery and hope, and kind of you feel both at the same time. The support group meetings have really saved me. I've been going for, I want to say, since the pandemic, so about 4 years now. And wow, I love hearing other people's stories. Some people are at the very beginning stage of it. They just started at age 27 or something like that. And others say, oh, I've been doing it for 10 years or 20 years or something. We're all on at different spots in our journey, different places. And it's fascinating to hear what works for some may or may not work for others. I had fidget toys, those pop-it things, a few years ago, and I was all about those. And now I haven't touched them in a couple of years. They just don't work for me anymore. They did for a while, and now they don't. And, you know, our friend Ellen has a nail file, and she does that while reading. And I'm thinking, how do you play with a nail file and read at the same time? I wouldn't be able to comprehend anything. However, it's mindless when you're playing with a fidget. It's usually to keep your hands out of your hair or wherever your hands go. And it somehow helps distract to keep those noisy hands busy. So I've got like ponytail holders everywhere in my home. I have like, I'm looking now, one on the bed, one by the bedside table, one on the back of every doorknob there is, because my hair gets on my nerves. And it helps me personally to keep my hair, and I've heard you say this before, up and out. Up out of your face and up off your neck. And when you braid it or you do whatever to it, it keeps you, you don't want to mess it up. In my case, if it's in a tight ponytail, I also don't want to mess up the slickness that I've created. So if that's my daily way to keep my hands out of my hair, then yes, I'm going to wear a ponytail pretty much every day of my life. You have to do what works for you. Everything's different for everyone.
What is a piece of advice or a trick that you learned from somebody in a support group that really stuck with you?
I learned about the poppets through the support group. Mercy had those, and she held hers up and said she keeps it in her bed at all times. And I was like, well, that's a good idea. So I ordered a couple of those. And like I said, that worked for a while, but I haven't been playing with those lately. I also haven't had the urge to pull lately. It's been going well for the last few months. I must say, I don't know who suggested this or if I just began it, but I started singing and humming around March, and I have improved not only with my trick, but my depression is a lot lighter. My anxiety has gone down, and I have to think that it is because I'm happier, sort of. I'm singing and humming, and you can, it's really hard to be bummed when you're singing and humming. They just don't go together. To me, singing and humming is sort of a happy activity. And I catch myself doing it all the time. Now I'm doing it so I don't even know I'm doing it. I'll just catch it. Some commercial comes on TV and it's based on a song from the 80s or who knows what. And there I go. I take off and I start singing it and humming it. And generally, I'll sing that one song all day long, unless I turn on music and start singing something else. But I kind of get a, it's almost like a tic, I think, that I sing the same song over and over or hum it. And that has helped me tremendously. I have to credit singing and humming.
I love that. And I actually noticed with myself when I used to drive pretty far to and from work, if I didn't sing in the car, something was going on. So I can totally see why you that would work for you too.
Yeah, it just makes you happier. It uplifts your spirits all the way around.
What are some things that you've heard growing up with trichotillomania that maybe grind your gears? Maybe it's like, ugh, I'm hearing this again.
I think the worst thing anyone's ever said to me, and this was just a few years ago when I confided in a friend, and I've just now sort of come out about this in the last few years that I've told a few close friends and a family member. I told my oldest niece, and she's like, she had no idea that I had that, because I guess she hasn't seen me pull or whatever. And I think when a person says to me, why don't you just stop? They ask you why you don't just stop. I throw my hands in the air. I was like, why didn't I think of that, sarcastically? And they just don't get it. And so I take that opportunity to educate them and say, here's what this is. You know, it's called trichotillomania. And, you know, I've been pulling my hair from my scalp for almost all my life. and it's akin to nail biting and skin picking and things like that. I do the whole education, not just of trick of dermatillomania and nail biting. But when someone says to me, "Why don't you just stop?" And they just almost do their mouth like that, like, "Why don't you just stop?" I'm like, "Are you serious? If I could, I would. This has been going on forever." And my mom used to ask me to stop. She didn't ask me, "Why don't you just stop?" She would just say, like, "Lori, please stop pulling your hair. You're driving me crazy." And I was like, "I can't, Mom. I just can't. I can't do it." And I would do it in front of her. I did it in her car. I did it in the living room, like everywhere. And she's just like, "You're driving me crazy." And I said, "Well, I don't mean to, but I also can't just stop. So someone requesting that of you is too big of an ask. It just grinds me. I'm just like, why didn't I think of that? If I could, I certainly would. We don't ask to have this. I didn't just wake up one day and say, "I think I'm going to start pulling my hair out now. I think that would be just great. Yeah. I think I'll have this all my life."
Now, you mentioned you have a niece, so you have siblings. Do any of your other siblings have a BFRB?
Not to my knowledge. The one niece that I told is a hair twirler. I noticed from the time she was young, she still does it, and she's about 38 now. She twirls her hair with one finger. And I don't know if it calms her down, if she has anxiety, or if she's showing that she has anxiety. I'm not sure what, but she doesn't pull. I don't think anyone in my family has a BFRB per se. My mom used to bite at her cuticles, kind of bite at her fingers. And I do have another niece who I have seen bite around her cuticles as well. So now that you mentioned it, I guess there are a couple people that have that, but none with the hair pulling, or to my knowledge, skin picking.
When you were growing up with your trichotillomania, did you ever feel as though you had to avoid things because of bald spots or missing areas?
Yes, I remember going swimming in the summer, but I'm wondering if I pulled during the school year, so it was during a non-swimming time, because I don't recall that keeping me from swimming. I remember having to fix my hair a certain way to cover that bald spot. So I would brush and get it going over the bald spot and secure a barrette so it would hide it all day. And to this day, I wondered this earlier today, did any of my classmates ever notice my bald spot? Because I don't recall anyone ever asking me about it or pointing at me or, anything like that. Maybe they were doing it behind my back and I don't know. But I'm so curious, and I don't know if anyone would have memory of that from way back then, because that was 50 years ago. However, you never know. And I thought, if I ask a classmate if they noticed it, that means I'm coming out and telling another person that I have trick. And I know that you have said before, I've watched some of your videos and stuff, and you've said, "I can't shut up about it. I want to talk about it. I want to tell about it." I'm sort of in the in-between stage where I've told just a couple of close friends and a family member, and I'm not quite shouting it from the rooftop yet. But fixing my hair a certain way was the one thing that I had to do, absolutely had to do, because to cover it. And that was fine, because that was,
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
pulling your hair back and securing it with a barrette was just as stylish as any other way you'd wear your hair in sixth grade or whatever it was. So that worked out just fine. I don't think I must not have had it in the summer, or it would have prevented me from swimming, and that would have been a big one. Must have been a school year kind of thing.
Did you ever experience any other BFRBs besides hair pulling?
No, I have thought about that. When I sort of came to this stage of recovery that I think that I'm in now, I recall running my fingernails on my scalp and just like kind of like scratching it. And I was like, have I become, is this dermatillomania? Is this count for skin picking? Because it's scalp picking. And some people say, well, sometimes you quit one thing and you pick up another or something to that effect. So that's the closest thing, but I've never bitten my fingernails. And as far as skin picking, I don't generally pick at scabs or anything like that. I'm pretty good about leaving those alone and letting them heal on their own. I scab very quickly. I notice that if I have some sort of scrape, I'll notice like pretty much overnight I scab. So I heal very quickly, but I don't pick at the scabs. So I think it's all hair focused. I've never touched my eyebrows and eyelashes, just the scalp. I've stuck with the scalp, different areas of the scalp, but I've stuck with my head.
What does your pulling ritual look like, if you don't mind explaining?
Back then, when I first started, I don't recall ever biting any hairs like I've heard people doing and stuff like that. I would just feel around for any that felt sort of rough or curly or out of place because I've always had this stick straight hair. And if I felt one that just felt odd, I was like, well, it has to go. It has to come out. And I would yank it from once again my the crown of my head. And that area became quite tender. It hurt. And it hurt beyond pulling as a like a pleasure pain combo, as someone pointed out to me in school like 25 years ago. And I was like, oh geez, I was a little embarrassed that I got caught, but I'll tell that story in a minute. I don't know nowadays if I pull, I'll just pull a few, luckily. I'll just find a few, and it just basically starts with taking my hand and running it through sections of my hair. And if I feel something that feels bumpy or out of place, it has to come out. Like I just yank it out. I always wish I had a microscope so I could look at this hair. I've wanted that for 50 years now. I've wanted a microscope where I could just, what would I find when I examine such hair? I don't know, but the ones I've pulled out are the ones I want out. You know, I don't pull out healthy or whatever kind of hairs. I just pull out the ones I don't like. And I throw them away. I have a trash can right by my bed and they go straight to the trash. I examine them first and see what's wrong with them and verify I pulled out the right one and then toss them.
Do you ever rub it across your lip, the root?
I have not done that. No, that is not a thing for me.
Tell us about the moment where you got caught.
Oh gosh, I'm guessing my mother noticed it and this still haunts me to this day that I lied about it and said, I guess my hair is falling out. You know, I just, boy, it took so many years before I ever told her the truth. I guess, you know, mom, I don't know if my dad was involved, but my mom took me to a doctor because of the bald spot. And I don't even know back then, this would have been 1973. Did they even know what trick was back then? I don't know. I'm guessing they probably had me step out of the room or leave me in there, and they stepped out of the room and talked. And I never heard the results of that conversation. I'm betting he thought it was just a phase that I was in and I would stop because that's a common one. Or if he told her the actual diagnosis, this is trichotillomania, don't make a big deal of it and she'll probably grow out of it or something to that effect. I don't know, but it took me, I was in my 30s and I was crying as I told my mom one day. I said, Mom, remember back when I had a bald spot when I was little? Well, my hair wasn't falling out. I pulled it out on purpose. And she said, I know. So she knew all those years and chose not to shame me for it, chose not to have more discussions about it. And I'm actually grateful to her about that. And then after that was when she's just like, please stop pulling your hair out. Sometime after that was when I was really getting on her nerves with my pulling. But that was, you know, back in the day when they took me to the doctor and tried to figure out what was wrong. And I feel guilt to this day, but you know, little 10-year-old me didn't know what else to do. I definitely was not going to admit that I was yanking my hair out all the time. And that was the best thing I could come up with was lying about it and saying, I guess it's falling out just in one spot, just on the crown of my head. Not falling out anywhere else on my body, just that one spot. But I went with that. I stuck with that lie and went with it for years.
I also lied. I couldn't help it. You know, who wants to admit it?
Yeah, you can't admit that. So I have a funny story to tell you. Just last week, I was in the bathroom, and I'm not a mirror person. You know, you've said do mirror work and things like that, but I pull elsewhere in my home. I'm not one to stand in front of a bathroom mirror. But I was in the bathroom, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this sort of squiggly hair. So I had choices at this point. What do I do with said hair? It needs to come out? Yes. However, if I start on that one, sure enough, I'm going to scan for others. So I decided to tuck it behind my ear and let it get lost in the rest of my hair. And I said to it, I said to the hair, you get to live another day. That's it. I said, you get to live another day. I saved you from that. And how many other hairs would have come after it? Because, you know, there's bright lights, there's a mirror, there, that's kind of a lot of places where people tend to pull from. And even though I'm not one of them, I still felt that if I touched that one, more would come after it. And there's no telling how long I would be in there doing this. And I didn't want to do it. So I was able to redirect my hands, leave the bathroom, turn the light off, leave the bathroom, go to a whole other room in the house and say, you know, you got to live another day, little hair. That's it. And now, and then it got lost because it got tucked behind my ear, and who knows, you know, where it is now.
That's amazing.
It took years to be able to do that. Yeah.
I was just gonna ask for people listening, like that is an amazing feat that you just did. Seeing the hair that's so perfect and hiding it. How did you get to that point where you could do that?
I think going to so many support group meetings and just hearing different stories from different people, the biggest thing I've got is try in the moment, if you can, just like that, and redirect. Redirect your hands, get a drink of water, go to a different room, do this, do that, do something completely different than what you are doing. And it finally sunk in with me. I finally listened to it and didn't give in to that. And I did exactly that. I turned off the light, left the bathroom, went back into my room, and that was it. And I haven't touched my hair since then. That was about a week ago, though.
It's
Live another
amazing.
day here. I'll get you next time, I bet you, but not today. If I see you again, I don't know if I'll have such self-control. Yeah.
Love it though. That's really great. I love that you told that story because sometimes for me as well, I'll do the scanning with my fingertips. You know, we're not in front of the mirror, we're feeling around. Other times we actually see the hair that we want. So it's both. It's like you can't really escape it.
Yeah, my biggest thing has always been feeling for it with my fingertips. I'm definitely a touch person when it comes to scanning for hair. I think back in the day they called it grooming for hair, but now they call it scanning. And just to touch and feel, and you know right away when you've got one that needs to come out. And it's this compulsive thing that you say to yourself, it must come out. I don't like it. It doesn't match the others. It just doesn't go with the rest of my head of hair, and that's it. It has to be plucked. You just can't leave it in. So leaving that one in last week was something else. It got to live one more day, and now I don't know where it is because it's tucked behind my ear with the rest of my hair, and I couldn't find it if I tried.
I noticed that when I see trichotillomania represented in movies, TV shows, or even books, they talk about pulling a chunk of hair at a time. Tell me your thoughts on that.
I think that's unrealistic. I don't know of anyone who's ever pulled a chunk of hair. That would be really hard to do, to grab that much in your hand and make it all come out because it's in there pretty deeply rooted. I think that's not common to pull a chunk at a time. I think people are more like us and do a strand at a time. Yeah, or several strands or whatever it ends up being, but acting like you grab a handful and rip it out of your scalp and then blood comes and whatever happens after that. I see that happening in a violent movie where there's a fight and somebody rips someone else's hair out of their head or something to that effect as a special effect. But I haven't heard of anyone in my support group meetings who have mentioned I pull out a chunk at a time. That just doesn't seem realistic to me. I think a hair at a time, and then before you know it, it becomes what is almost a chunk. You see it where you've dropped it or whatever. I was like, oh my, now there's a handful of hair. How did that happen? Where did that all come from? Because you're in a trance. You don't even know you did it. Pulling that out all at once, ouch. I know this is a pleasure pain combo, but I don't want that much pain. Yeah, I don't want, I can't do it.
I feel like you said it beautifully, where it's like violent. They're showing something that's violent. And to me, like my trichotillomania, I would say it's kind of gentle. Like I wouldn't even think it's violent at all.
Yeah, because you are doing a strand at a time and you feel it. And, I guess people have asked me, doesn't it hurt? And I said, well, yes, it hurts to pull a piece of your hair out. It would hurt if somebody came up to me and yanked a piece of my hair out unbeknownst to me. And I said, it does hurt, but at the exact same time, it's this pleasure pain combo. And that's so hard for people to understand who don't have trick. Why do you do it? And why do you do it if it hurts? I get these questions and I don't know the answer to that. I just, it feels good and hurts at the same time. And the story I was going to tell back when I was in graduate school, 97 to 98, at University of Tennessee, I was in a psychology class, which was an elective. That was not my major. And I don't know if I stopped taking notes or what the story was, but I got into a trance in the classroom and I was sitting in the back, thank goodness. And I looked down and there's, a pile of hair on my notebook page. And I was like, oh boy. And the guy beside me, a classmate, said to me, and this must have been not long after I Googled it, he said, oh, do you have trichotillomania or something like that? He's a psych major. He knew what it was, he had studied it. And I said, yeah. And he said something to the effect of, I don't know if he asked me or told me, but he used the words as a pleasure pain combo or something like that. And I was like, oh, somebody gets it. Yay. But that's the only time I can think of that I've pulled in front of someone besides my mom all my life. And to do that in a classroom in front of colleagues, in front of classmates is just like, oh. I think I was pretty ashamed at that point. But the fact that he didn't berate me for it, and didn't say, oh, you're gross. I can't believe you just sat there and pulled all your hair out. There are a lot of other ways that conversation could have gone. And the fact that he just sort of acknowledged it and didn't shame me or berate me for it was, it was okay. And, nothing was ever said about it after that. It was just a one-time thing. But imagine getting in a trance when you're in class, and that's pretty bad to wake up from your trance and see all this hair on your notebook. I was like, oh, I definitely didn't listen in class that day, I'm guessing. I was probably too focused on my hair.
And I love that he knew the name. That's great. Who's just like, oh, hey. And then you're like, yep. And he's like, yep. And that was it. It sounded
Yeah,
like a great interaction.
definitely. It could have gone so much worse, is what I was thinking. He really could have, even though I was a stranger to him, he really could have shamed me for that. And made me feel terrible about it, as other people have done to other people. I've heard that friends have sort of shamed other friends and family members and things like that. And one thing I've learned in support group meetings is how we have this negative self-talk going on in our heads, and we, yell at ourselves when we do it, like, you're so stupid. I can't believe you pulled out another hair. Why are you doing this? And they brought up the fact you would never say that to a person on this Zoom call. You would never say that to, we're friends here. We're on friendly terms. We have each other's backs. I would never say those words to any other human being at all. But boy, do we say them to ourselves? Yes, we do. Negative self-talk is terrible, and I've really tried to turn that around lately and just not do it. I didn't berate myself for finding a hair the other day, and I kind of gave myself some kudos for not pulling it out. But I definitely, negative self-talk is very powerful, and I hope people can reduce that big time. That's what I've learned in these support group meetings, is to really try to be kinder to yourself. You wouldn't say that to another person. I would never say that to you if I saw you put on deer. I'd be like, Barbara, you're so stupid. You're disgusting. You're this, you're that. Like, I would never in a million years say that. So why say it to yourself? I don't know, but it really impacts kind of the shame around it. It just makes it worse. The shame and guilt just come to a head, and it's terrible. Yeah. We're trying to get away from shame and guilt and go to acceptance and managing this thing.
What does acceptance with trichotillomania look like for you?
I think it took years and years to get to that point, but probably around middle age, I realized when I started pulling again, this is just something I have. And apparently, it wasn't a phase, it didn't just go away. I have now accepted that I have this thing. I feel comforted in knowing I'm not the only one. Others have it as well. And that's it. I'm going to have good days and bad days. But overall, it's just something I have. I've accepted that it's just part of my life and has been for so many years. And some people see my age and they see what age I started at. They're like, oh my gosh, you've been doing this for 51 years. I said, yes, but it's been off and on. And it's just part of my life. I just have to, I don't know that I love it or I thank it or any, I don't think I'm at that point where a lot of people say, I love it, I thank it. I'm glad I do that instead of something else. Well, okay, I'm glad I do that instead of this or that. Yes, I get that part. But it is a form of self-soothing. And I've had a lot of anxiety throughout my life. And I think that's probably what triggers it the most is when I'm in a high anxiety moment, I reach my hand up for my head. With knowing it, sometimes I'm doing it, and sometimes it's just absentmindedly. But I've accepted that it's just part of who I am, and I'm managing it better than ever, I feel, which is great.
What would be your advice to someone listening who wants to come on the show or share their story with others?
It's freeing. I feel so much more free since I've shared my story a little bit online. I wrote it's called a blog post for the Changemaker. That was just laying it all out there. I started when I was 10 with pulling my, I kind of did from beginning to current kind of thing. And even telling a few friends about it first, if that's easier for you, a few close friends whom you trust or family members, it really does free it up and it makes it not so. Such a crazy subject to talk about. Like, there's so much shame associated with trich and the other BFRBs. Talking about it seems to release some of that. It makes me say, okay, other people have this too. I don't want them to be ashamed of it. So I'm no longer going to be ashamed of it. I'm going to just accept this. And I think it's great to talk about it. To be at the point where you are, where you want to shout it from the mountains, is just, you admit it's helped you. You've said before that that's how I've helped myself was that I can't shut up about it. I have to talk about it all the time to everyone everywhere. And you educate people on it, which is great. And that's what I've tried to do a couple of times.